Chapter 16. I stared at Lafortier's corpse for a moment longer, shook my head, and then pulled one of those disposable cameras you can get from a vending machine out of my duster pocket. I walked around the room snapping pictures of the body, the blood splatters, and the broken bits of furniture. I ran through the entire roll of film, making the most complete record of the scene that I could, and then pocketed the camera again and turned to leave Lafortier's chambers. Back in the ostentatiatory, I heard voices drifting up from below. I nodded pleasantly to Lucky, who gave me an inscrutable look, and walked to the balcony railing. Listens to Wind and the Merlin were standing by the buffet table, speaking quietly. Peabody hovered in the background, carrying a different set of folders, ledgers, and pens. I paused for a moment to listen. It's a trick I picked up somewhere along the line. Not really magic, per se, as much as it is turning my mental focus completely to my sense of hearing. To find out the truth, the Merlin was saying as he loaded up a plate with tiny sandwiches and wedges of cheese and fresh green grapes. Surely you have no objection to that. I think the truth is already well established, Listens to Wind replied quietly. We're just wasting time here. We should be focusing on controlling the fallout. The Merlin was a tall man, regal of bearing, with a long white beard and long white hair to go with it, every inch the wizard's wizard. He wore a blue robe and a silver circlet about his brow, and his staff was an elegant length of pure white wood, completely free of any marking. He paused in loading his plate and regarded Injun Joe with a level gaze. I'll take it under advisement. Injun Joe Listens to Wind sighed and held up his hands, palms forward, in a conciliatory gesture. We are ready to begin. Let me get some food in me, and I'll be right in.
Ahem, Peabody said diffidently. Actually, Wizard Listens to Wind, if you could sign a few papers for me while the Merlin eats, it would be greatly appreciated. There are two files on your desk that need your approval, and I have three... He paused and began to juggle the load in his arms until he could peer into a folder. No, four others here with me.
Injun Joe sighed. Okay, he said. Come on. The two of them walked toward the stairs leading up to the balcony, turned the opposite way I had when they reached the top, and entered a chamber on the far side of the room. I waited until they were gone to descend the staircase to the ground level. The Merlin had seated himself in the nearest group of chairs and was eating his sandwiches. He froze for a second as he saw me, and then smoothly resumed his meal. Funny. I didn't like the Merlin much more than I would a case of flaming gonorrhea, but I had never seen him in this context before. I'd always seen him at the head of a convened council, and as this remote and unapproachable figure of unyielding authority and power— I'd never even considered the notion that he might eat sandwiches. I was about to go on past him, but instead swerved and came to a stop, standing over him. He continued eating, apparently unconcerned, until he finished the sandwich. Come to gloat, have you, Dresden? He asked. No, I said quietly. I'm here to help you. He dropped the bit of cheese he'd been about to bite into. It fell to the floor unnoticed as his eyes narrowed, regarding me suspiciously. Excuse me. I bared my teeth in a cold little smile. I know, it's like having a cheese grater shoved against my gums just saying it. He stared at me for a silent minute before taking in a slow breath, settling back into the chair and regarding me with steady blue eyes. Why should I believe you would do any such thing? Because your balls are in a vice and I'm the only one who can pull them out, I said. He arched an elegant silver eyebrow. Okay, I said. That came out a little more homoerotic than I intended. Indeed, said the Merlin. But Morgan can't stay hidden forever, and you know it. They'll find him. His trial will last about 2 seconds. Then he falls down and breaks his crown, and your political career comes tumbling after.